This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
It was in Chennai that Shivakumar felt he found himself. He's a queer man from Vishakhapatnam and was living there for a few years.
Like, I was living in Chennai for a while. That's when actually I really understood what is LGBTQIA+, and that there would be all this kind of all these different identities. So that's where I saw the Pride March.
He became a member of the organizing committee of the Pride March in Chennai. After many years of staying in the closet, he felt validated.
Where we saw like people coming from different backgrounds, all identities, feeling so together, and they are all giving one voice out. Like we should fight for our rights. So that's the kind of representation I saw. Maybe they were showing themselves. Again, the expression could be something, but the voice that is coming out from that body is what is to be cared about. Every person on the streets, when we were walking, they were not staring at us. They were like curious to know what is this all about? Why are they on the streets and making such a hullabala? So that's the kind of expressions I saw on the faces of the people. So that made me understand, like, there is really an importance for this Pride March. It is not about just you coming in different attires or various styles and just walking on the roads. It's about making people hear, listen to you, listen to what you're shouting and draw their attention while we are trying to do such march. So that's what made me feel like Pride March is really important. So that's how we felt to start, even in our small city.
When he moved back home, he got together with his transgender friend Harsha Hayati. They created an organization, Nestam, in the city for the LGBTQIA community there. But the dream has been to make Pride March happen. But the members of his community were not willing to publicly walk on the streets of Vishakhapatnam openly.
All the other community persons whom I met, they were all comfortable. I should speak this definitely, because they were happy with what they are getting in their life. Like especially the gay community persons, they're happy with their sex life and they don't want to really mess up. And why would we ask the society to stop looking at us as a weird people, because we are getting enough benefit from them. And why would we really do such things? So all these kind of answers made me really go down. I thought like it's not going to happen.
Most of the members from the community refused to join in the Pride parade. Oddly, the queer folk from outside the city were more willing.
The people from the city, they were nowhere ready. Because, yes, they were not out. They're still in the closet. And though we gave them all kinds of like suggestions, why they don't need to fear about and all that kind of guidance, still they were not comfortable.
Shivakumar first tried organizing Pride March in 2016. He's still trying. Hi, I am Suryatapa Mukherjee, reporting on this episode of Pride and Prejudice, our series on all things LGBTQIA. LGBTQIA stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual. We will be using queer as an umbrella term for all these identities. In this episode, we will explore the evolution of Pride through history, across various Indian cities, to understand what goes on behind the displays of rainbow and opulence. The first Pride March took place in 1970 in New York. It was in response to Stonewall riots, a clash of the police and the queer community in Stonewall Inn, one of the few gay bars as they were called then. The first Pride March in the country happened in Kolkata in 1999. It was called a friendship walk. I spoke to Rudro Kishore Mondol. They told me that back then the most visible queer people involved in these things were gay and bisexual men and transgender women. The planning for the walk happened in Hyderabad, where Rudro was at the time working for a support group.
At that point, when I got involved, it was mostly GBT, guys, means like gay, bisexual and transgender. People were mostly in the forefront. I will say gay men were basically in the forefront at that point. When I got involved, this is 1998 that I'm talking about. I joined a gay support group, a GBT support group, basically, in Hyderabad. I was in Hyderabad. I was studying there. So I got involved with the functioning of the support group, and I'm continuously saying GBT here because the visibility of lesbian people were not there at that point of time.
The group put in their own money to organize this Pride March. The entire affair was relatively peaceful.
And in 1999, we put in a little bit of our own funds, money, whatever we could raise from people that we knew, and organize a All India conference for out gay men in Hyderabad called Yaria 99. That is when I first met people who were in the forefront of activism. For me, it was like I was young and, you know, with a lot of dreams. And so it was a major event in my life at that point. And that is where the seed for the 1999 friendship walk, which happened in Kolkata, was sowed in that conference. People started talking about why can't we have a Pride March in India? And that is where the discussion went on, and people said, so let's do it in Kolkata. Ranjan said that, okay, we will go ahead and do something in Kolkata. And that is where how they organized the first friendship walk, July 1999, I guess.
Like in Vishakhapatnam now, the first Pride walks in the country and in Kolkata ran into challenges and were not held every year. Life, in a way, came full circle for Rudro. They were at the organizing meeting for the first Pride in Kolkata, and then they returned to their home city for its second innings. They had Pride walks every 2 to 3 years. It became a regular feature after 2011. To those who are closeted, Pride marches mean a lot. Pride marches are sometimes their first exposure to the queer community. In 2014, Nujhat Nasreen Islam had just passed out of school when she saw the first Pride walk in Guwahati. It was the first Pride for all of Northeast India.
So, like, the first Pride that I went to was when I was, I just passed out of school, and I found out like 2 days earlier than the Pride day that the very first Pride walk would be held in my city itself. But again, because of the rampant homophobia that is still in existence, I shouldn't use past tense. So what happened is me and my best friend, we just went there and we were like 10 to 20 meters away and just looked if there were enough people for us to join so that we will not be, we won't be noticeable there. So we found that there were at least like 50 people at least there. So it was fine with us going there. Plus they were providing us with masks and the wigs and all that, you know, so that you can protect your identity, which was fine with us. We joined. So I wanted people in Assam because back then we did not have this regular dialogue or we didn't even have any organizations that were actively working for the LGBTQ community in Assam. So to get that, that was the very first very, very public event that involved, discussing about LGBT rights. But then from the second Pride onwards, I basically joined as an organizer. I was there as an organizer itself. And so I've been in the organizing committee for at least 5 out of the 7 prides that have been held in Guwahati.
Nujhat Nasreen Islam is now the co-founder of Khomunnoy, a queer organization based in Guwahati. In the initial years, she says police permission was maybe the toughest part of organizing pride in Assam.
Earlier, it was very difficult for us to get permission from the police and the administration. And it would take us a long time to actually, we had to go to the police station almost every day. And as you know, it's as women, I don't think it's a very safe, enforce law enforcement spaces are not, top-notch for women or persons identifying as women or even the queer community itself. So to go there itself was a very tedious task. When you would go, most of the time, the asking for the permission part was dealt by me and other female identifying persons. So what would happen is they would take one look at the application and they'd immediately assume that the 3 of us are together or the 4 of us are together immediately, right? So you do not have your privacy, of course, is being hampered. Plus, you are not being you are in a space that is very, very much judgmental of your life choices. So all of that combined, in the initial years, it was very difficult to navigate those spaces as soon as you're asking for permission to hold the pride, immediately there would be questions, a lot of questions. However, as time has passed by, I can assure that Assam Police has been very, very supportive, and we have not had any issues in the recent years.
So how did this change come about? How did the police go from foe to friend over half a decade?
One point has to be that, there is more media representation, at least during the Pride Walk time and capitalizing on the Pride Month and everything, that happens a lot. Before, it was like something unheard of to find a gay couple or a lesbian couple. People wouldn't even know those terms. At least now, I think every year we do have this thing called the Queer Pride Guwahati, and people do know that, and that is very highly publicized in the media also. So I think in that sense, there is a constant, but there is some discussion around that particular aspect, right?
Shivakumar, however, has not been able to organize the Pride March, partly because police did not grant him permission in 2016 or 2019, when they came close to organizing the community to come out and march with them. One time, a policeman told Shivakumar, "Are you all going to come out wearing saris and dance on the road?" The relationship between pride parades and law and order have been shifting in other ways. In Mumbai just last year, a transgender student was arrested for raising anti-NRCCA slogans at the annual Pride gathering. 50 others were slapped with sedition charges. The police had denied permission for a march, fearing that the thousands in attendance would protest against NRCCAA. So the organizers had moved it to a park instead. Attendees still protested against the National Register of Citizens in Assam and the Citizenship Amendment Act.
"I condemn the CAA and NRC because in Assam, 2,000 transgender people were left out when NRC happened. I'm a transgender woman and an Indian citizen. Nobody has the right to take away from me my identity."
CAA, or Citizenship Amendment Act 2019, seeks to naturalize illegal migrants from all religions except Islam. This is based on a National Registry of Citizens, or NRC, proposal, which seeks to make a registry of legitimate citizens based on a specific set of documents. The process is complete in Assam, excluding more than 1.9 million people living in the state. But perhaps the most surprising part of the story is that Pride organizers distanced themselves from the CAA protests and those charged. In fact, one of the organizers identified the prime accused publicly on social media for protesting and asked the university to hold them accountable. Queer Azadi Mumbai, the body that organizes Mumbai Pride, released an official statement saying, and I quote, "We completely dissociate ourselves from and strongly condemn the abrupt radical slogans in support of Sharjil and or any other slogans against the integrity of India at the gathering. We feel that irresponsible sloganeering under the garb of dissent not just affects the safety of individuals who signed the permission, but QAM as an entity." End quote. But that's not all. In Pune last year, organizers said they would submit a list of known troublemakers, quote-unquote, to the police in advance to avoid what happened in Mumbai. Many queer groups feel that the movement should be circumscribed to the rights of queer people and not broad-based. Rudro talks about this sentiment among many people in the community.
There is a sentiment, there is a amongst a lot of queer people, that other movements don't talk about queer people. So why should we talk about them? That kind of a sentiment basically works against. I believe that certain kind of sentiment works against the inclusivity politics of Pride. Because we are being discriminated against doesn't mean that we also go ahead and discriminate against others. And that is where I think the main issue lies. Certain people see that queer issues like civil rights, marriage equality, anti-discrimination law, and all that should be only what we should concentrate on at Pride Walks.
Besides, queer spaces do not exist outside of society, and so queer spaces often have the same problems as elsewhere in society. Nujhat says that she has faced Islamophobia within queer so-called safe spaces, same as anywhere else. She says that these are the issues that need to be worked on so that spaces can truly be inclusive of all queer people.
You know, to be very honest, I've also found a lot of Islamophobia in the queer circles, right? Since the past years, I was the only Muslim person. I was the only Muslim representative, if you might. In queer circles. So I've also had my fair share of Islamophobia in queer circles. So I think we are not like the LGBT community is definitely not perfect. And we are all, again, we are not living in islands. So because we are in such intersections, I think these kind of issues do need to be spoken about. And if in turn, the platform of Pride is used as in order to benefit marginalized communities, then I think it's a very good idea.
Nujhat talks about the so-called good queer and bad queer binary.
There's a lot of, you know, discussion for, you know, the whole, the bad queer and the good queer, right? So nowadays what happens is, you know, sometimes even within the community, you're saying that, you know, one section of the community deserves more rights because they fall within the quote unquote good queer definition, right? And that is so unfair. I mean, that's, you're not letting go of your privileges to make space for, you know, other persons in the community who might not be as privileged as you are. You're just you're just moving the wheel of inequality. I feel like, you know, I don't know, if you're not even willing to listen to other people, like, you know, if you think that, you know, you living in your own bubble and bubble of privilege, and, you know, expecting that everyone in the community is the same as you and they do not require rights which are different from you, or you have an active problem with rights being granted to other marginalized community, I think you should relook your entire morality or your ethics, I feel.
At the other end of the country from Mumbai, NRCCAA featured as one of the main official reasons for the Pride March in Guwahati. Nujhat said that in Guwahati Pride March, people openly talk about CAA.
We allow people to bring their own placards, and a lot of people talk about raise issues that they feel very passionate about, and some issues that do need to, you know, be talked about. For example, this year the theme was that, you know, about how trans act, and also how the NRC has excluded transgender persons in particular, right? So all of those are, and of course, being from Assam, I think we have been affected. We are directly affected by the CAA, right? So, I mean, I don't think that any of those protests would take away from our, you know, goal of getting more rights for the LGBTQ community. Because I think in the world of intersections, I don't think that there's a point to stick to only one, or, you know, to make boxes out of social issues. Because at the end of the day, I mean, all of us are living in the same society, right? We can't just ignore one thing and then talk about something else. A lot of times we have interconnected issues. So as indigenous persons from the Northeast and from Assam, I think we will be affected by more things other than simply homophobia, queerphobia, or even transphobia. So I think it's very important to talk about issues like that. I mean, the basic history of Pride is a means of protest, right? It is a celebration, but the very fact that we are celebrating our queerness is also an act of protest. At least I believe that.
Like any movement, it is usually the dominant groups in that movement that take charge of setting agendas. Bittu says that these incidents show who is in charge of organizing the pride in question. Bittu is an academic and has helped organize pride marches in Hyderabad, Bangalore, and Delhi.
These are perspectives that are brought in by rich gay men, largely. But it's one that where I think the solution is very simple, which is that people who are privileged need to learn to listen to those who are not. But in addition, a failure to understand how the CAA and RCAA are very fundamentally issues concerning the queer and trans communities. I mean, the NRC left out left a large number of trans persons and an extremely large fraction of the trans community. I think even though, because in terms of absolute counts, the number of trans people that the state even acknowledges or understands as trans is very low, but an extremely high fraction of the trans community was left out of the NRC exercise in Assam. So it's very clearly a queer and trans issue as well. And everybody who's connected with queer and trans communities across class, instead of solely socializing within their class, would know that.
He says that in some places, Pride has become more about some queer people rather than all queer people. That it is agitating against the government that secures rights, not conceding to it.
So, you know, you look at a place like Tamil Nadu where, you know, trans activists really fought for several of the things that the government's giving, the central government and the, you know, the courts and so on are giving other people now, such as rights to ID. And these were examples where there are struggles, the government concedes, and then there's a clear path for the community to continue to struggle and to get more things. What's been happening now is a politics of lobbying. And that politics of lobbying is what I think has also changed Pride in certain places. The police giving permission to Pride to only certain kinds of people, right? Who goes in to ask the police for permission matters. The police determining and sort of differentially acting upon Pride depending on who's there, what kinds of slogans are shouted, and so on and so forth. So I think that all of these structures and really the particular history of a Pride in a particular location influence these outcomes.
Bittu says that it comes down to if the pride is led by the more marginalized or the more privileged among the queer community. Who do we think of when we think of queer people? What do we imagine when we think of a pride march? These are conversations happening from the beginning of Pride itself. There is a famous speech by Stonewall writer and activist Sylvia Rivera. With both applauders and hecklers in the crowd, she spoke about the difference between queer people in America. There were queer people like her who led the riots, who were from ethnic minorities, transgender, poor, routinely beaten and violated by the police. Then there were queer people who were white, middle-class, cisgender men and women who did not have to fight in the same way.
I have been beaten. I have had my nose broken. I have been thrown in jail. I have lost my job. I have lost my apartment for gay liberation. And you all treat me this way? What the f*** wrong with you all? Think about that. The people are trying to do something for all of us and not men and women that belong to a white middle class, white club. And that's what you all belong to. Revolution now! Give me a kiss.
Whenever he has been able to organize a pride, Bittu says he has tried to maintain the original principles of the movement.
In Bangalore and even more so in Hyderabad, the goal was really to use the idea of pride, whose origins are in a revolt against the various ways in which queer people are policed, to really to sort of in that spirit link it with the political issues that and forms of violence and harassment and policing that queer and trans communities face even today. So in Hyderabad with the Swabhiman Yatra, I think that's really what we were trying to do. And that march continues to, the prides before, I think, were not like this, but ever since we began organizing it as a Swabhiman Yatra, have been largely working class and Hijra Koti led, very much like what was happening in Bangalore, but unlike, I think, the way in which the march plays out in Delhi and in, as I've heard, some other cities.
In Vishakhapatnam, organizing a pride march seems like an uphill task. But people like Shivakumar are already laying the groundwork to slowly help people come out of the closet and join him in public. He recounts being horribly bullied while growing up, both in school and at home, and realizing how the world needs to change.
You should have been born as a female. When it comes to my family members, they used to keep saying that. So all this thing really put me into a lot of depression. But somehow the strength which I gained myself, I could focus on my studies and really do good in academics, especially, which I found a very difficult task for many of the LGBTQIA+ community people. So taking all this trauma into their head, especially. So that is the first thing that made me feel like enough of it, like nobody like me should suffer right from the school stage, so that they would not drop out and at least they would feel strong in mind to an extent and focus on their education and career through education.
So his own experiences motivated him to spread awareness about queerness in education institutions through his organization Nestham. In the short run, this would make schools safer for queer children. And in the long run, this would make society safer for queer people.
So Nestham was started in 2015, along when I met a trans friend, Harsha Hayati, and I told her what is running in my head. So she got connected to it immediately. And that was to create an understanding and acceptance of the LGBTQIA+ community in the mainstream society. So my motto was to create this understanding and acceptance in by conducting awareness sessions in schools, colleges, all kinds of educational institutions especially.
Already he feels a change and hopes for more. He says students listen focused with attention. Sometimes college students do workshops with them independently if the college authorities do not give permission. He sees an increasing change in young people's attitudes to queerness.
And after the sessions, all those who got connected, they used to come to us and say and ask more about things and ask like, how can we be a part of this community in their active in your activities and all this. So just imagine how beautiful it is out there.
Hopefully, these shifts will soon make it a friendlier world where queer people in Shivakumar city can march in broad daylight with pride.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting a contributing page on our website, sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.